Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Patricia Bay. You're tuning in to Therapy in a Nutshell here on KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. Before I get started on today's subject, I wanted to take just a moment to tell you guys what that opening song is. I've had a number of people in the last month say, "What song is that?" And that the song that I play at the beginning of this show is called "We Can't Do This Forever." It's a song written by my eldest daughter, Tara Bedford, and it's a beautiful song. They use it to help domestic violence victims. They use it at One Safe Place. She wrote it and did the music, and she's got some incredible musicians on there with her, Ricky Hill, Jimmy Bryant, Bruce Turgan. It's an incredible song called "We Can't Do This Forever." You can pull it up on YouTube. So there, now everybody knows what that song is. And I thank Tara for allowing us to use her song on my show. Okay, this is Dr. Patty, and today we are going to be talking about listening. Because listening is an art, and it is important that you know some of the skills about listening, and you can evaluate whether you are a good listener or not. And if you're not, how to fix that. So there's a quote by Mark Twain that I just love, and I wanted to throw it in here. "Wisdom is the reward you get for a lifetime of listening when you would rather have been talking." I love Mark Twain. Samuel Clemens just has an incredible wisdom about him that is so timeless, that has lasted throughout the ages. And it's really important, because in order to listen, you have to be quiet, and you have to stop talking, and you have to listen with the intent of understanding and not the intent of forming your own response. And there's a difference. And by the end of this show, I want you to understand that difference and have some really good skills for how to not only be a really good listener, but be a productive listener. So another really important point about this that I want to give you is that listening does not necessarily equal hearing. Okay? You can sort of listen to what somebody's saying, but if you don't hear them and understand the words that are coming out of their mouth, I love that from Rush Hour, then you might be listening, but you might not be hearing. So there is a difference, and I want you to hold that thought as we work through this show. One of the biggest problems I see with people having trouble listening is that they're afraid. And you might be thinking, what? That doesn't make sense. But it makes a ton of sense. When you are listening to someone talk, you automatically start coloring what they're saying with your own past experiences. That's part of the human condition. We cannot live our current life, we cannot move forward into the future without bringing our past along with us. Now, the more aware you are of what your past is, the more developed, the more emotionally developed you will be, the more centered you will be. If you are unaware that you're coloring your current situation with your past, then you will be doing unconscious process and responding in ways that you're not really fully in charge of, and you may be living your current life with fear. So how do we tend to listen with fear? Say you're talking to somebody and they're telling you something important, or they're telling you something difficult to hear, maybe a constructive criticism of you, or information that you don't want, or an event that's happening that you wish wasn't going to happen, or a change in your life where something has occurred that now your reality is going to be different. So what happens is you start listening and you automatically begin to get afraid. And what are you afraid of? Are you afraid of the conversation? Are you afraid of losing control of the conversation or control of how that person feels about you? Do you start to feel fear rejection from that person as you're listening to what they're saying? And remember that the fear of rejection is actually a fear of abandonment. If you reject me and you don't like me, then you're going to leave me and stop loving me, and therefore I fear you abandoning me. So fear of rejection is actually a fear of abandonment. So as you're listening to a conversation and you're finding yourself getting afraid, stop and say, am I afraid of what is being said? Am I afraid of getting hurt like I was in the past or experiencing something painful that I did in the past? Or am I afraid of the outcome of this conversation, that I can't control the direction it's going or control how this person speaking to me feels or will feel? So the fear rises when you're listening to what the person is saying, and instead of hearing everything they're saying, you start pulling out your crayon box and coloring the current situation with past fears and past worries. And then you start coloring the situation with fear of the future. What is the outcome going to be with this? How can I control what's being said or thought or where this conversation is going to go? So remember, if you're having trouble hearing while someone is talking, actually hearing and understanding what they're saying, you might be afraid. And so one of the really good ways to deal with fear is to stop and hold that pile of dog stuff in your hands and say, what am I afraid of? Does this remind me of a way I've been hurt in the past? Does this color what I think might happen in the future? Why am I getting afraid of what's going on here in this moment, or fear of the outcome of what this will be? And it's interesting because when we have been hurt in the past, we often justify hearing things through our own paranoia and our own fears and our own pain. For example, say your spouse starts talking to you about a problem they're having with your relationship, and they want to share with you what they're feeling because they would really like to fix it. And all you start thinking about is how your last partner left you and how you got burned and how everyone you've been with has cheated on you, or everyone that you've been in a relationship with has left you somehow or hurt you somehow. And instead of hearing what your partner is saying and hearing that he or she is trying to direct the relationship in a healing sort of way, what you're hearing is, you're going to leave me. And you start coloring the conversation with your own fear. What happens is you stop listening. Now what you're doing is, as fast as you can, whipping color crayons out of your experience box and coloring it with your past trauma. So you stop hearing what the person is saying. All right, so that's a really good thing to become aware of. Because in order to be a really good listener, you have to be self-aware. You have to have less attachment to outcome and more ability to say, what am I feeling as I'm listening to this? And how can I get out of my own way so I can really let go and hear what this person is saying to me? I want to listen deeply. One of the things I like to say, and you've heard me say it through many of my shows, been in my podcasts, is seek to understand before you seek to be understood. So deep listening, true listening, you are seeking to understand what the person is saying. All right, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, I'm going to talk to you about the different kinds of listening and what's actually involved with good listening. We'll be back in a minute.
Turtle Bay's fall plant sale has been extended now through the end of the year. Don't miss this chance to save big during this key season for planting perennials. The nurseries open Wednesday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 1460.com.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Seco Manufacturing Company presents How People Make Things at Turtle Bay now through January 9th. Explore this new and interactive exhibit where kids can learn firsthand about the tools and processes used to make objects that we see and use every day. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. You're listening to the incredibly beautiful Native American flute music by Randy McGinnis. You can go to randymcginnis.com and check out all six of his CDs. They're all different, which is phenomenal. I love that. And they're super relaxing and incredibly beautiful. Randy McGinnis has received tons of Native American music awards, played all over the world with the Prague Symphony, the Knoxville Symphony. He's just an incredible musician, and his music is stunningly beautiful. Thank you, Randy, for allowing us to use your music on Therapy in a Nutshell. Okay, this is Dr. Patty, and we are talking about listening. So I want to take you through some of the actual mechanics of listening so that you know, have a little better idea of what I'm talking about. There's actually several parts to good listening. One of them is that you have to receive the information. And one of the cardinal rules for listening is shut up. Be quiet. Stop talking. Tune in your ears and listen. You have to receive the information in order to begin to hear. Then what happens is you have to seek to understand. So let's say the person speaking to you is speaking a language you don't know how to speak. You're going to have trouble hearing them, aren't you? You're going to have trouble hearing and understanding. You might hear the words that are coming out of their mouth, but if you don't speak that language, you're not going to understand what they say. So let's assume that you are receiving information that someone that speaks the same language that you speak, and now you're going to seek to understand what they're saying. Understanding does not mean you are forming your response. It doesn't mean that you hear the first sentence or first two sentences and all of a sudden go, yeah, but you do this and you do that, and that's not fair. That's your response, okay? So you're going to receive the information. You're going to seek to understand it. Then you're going to evaluate what's being said. And then you're going to hopefully have an opening in which you can respond. And then if you respond, if it's your turn to talk and somebody lets you have a turn to talk, then your job is to stay on subject. And one of the ways people go off subject a lot when they're listening is they do that thing I call yeah but yous. The person starts talking and then you're immediately forming, yeah but you do this and you do that and no I don't and it's not fair. And they're thinking of a protective response for themselves. So those are the four parts of really doing listening well. You have to receive the information. You have to seek to understand it. You have to evaluate your response and how you feel about what's being said. And then you have to respond on topic, on subject. Okay, so in order to actively receive and interpret what's being said, you have to recognize that sometimes the words coming out of someone's mouth does not match the expression on their face or their body language. And that can be really confusing for people. Because if I'm telling you, oh, I'm so glad she's here, as opposed to, oh, I'm glad she's here, and you've got that look of disgust on your face. The words are the same. The intent is different. As human beings, we are automatically assessing body language, facial expression, tone of voice. It's one of the reasons all this wearing masks is difficult, because you are missing some major body language cues by the turn of the mouth, the expression on the face, whether the eyes match the mouth. For example, a mouth that is smiling that doesn't go to the eyes, you automatically start to get, that was kind of a fake smile. But when you can't see the two together, you're having trouble reading and interpreting the facial expressions. So remember that while you are listening, you're looking for all sorts of cues. And you're naturally going to do that. Some people are better at interpreting them than others. But it's part of the listening experience. Sometimes I say it to my clients often, but sometimes I'll say it to family members or friends. I'll say, your body language isn't matching what you're saying. You're saying you're happy, but you don't look like you're happy. And that's a way to check out your understanding of what you're hearing. You don't accuse, and you don't act like you absolutely know. You just notice, hey, your body language looks unhappy, but your words coming out of your mouth are trying to paint a different story. I'm confused. And that's just a way of stating what you're feeling with observing it and observing it well. Okay, so there's types of listening. One of them is informational listening. That's informational listening to learn. That's hopefully what you're doing while you're listening to this show and this podcast. Informational listening is to learn. Critical listening is to evaluate and analyze. Therapeutic or empathetic listening is to understand. Now, is it possible to do all three? Yes. When somebody's talking, you might say, I want to learn what they're feeling or what they're saying or what they're trying to convey to me. The critical part of the listening is I want to evaluate and analyze what they're saying and put it through my own filters of understanding. And then I deeply want to understand what they're saying. I want to have an empathetic response, or I want to have an emotional response that says, I hear you and I'm trying to get what you're saying. The part that a lot of people have trouble with is that listening should outweigh the talking. If you deeply want to hear, and you want to know what somebody is feeling or thinking or what they're trying to say, then the listening should outweigh the talking. And I'm letting that sink in with you for a minute. Let's look at the idea of listening being a tennis game. Let's say you are on either side of the court, and the person you're listening to is on the other side of the tennis court, and you are gently going to lob a tennis ball back and forth. Now, if any of you have played tennis, there are smash hits and there's, you know, far court slams that the person can't even get to. We're not talking about that kind of tennis. We're talking about a gentle lob right to the person with patience for them to get it and gently lob it back. So if you think of a conversation as that slow, purposeful, I want you to get that ball and be able to send it back my way for me to get that ball. In that gentle game of tennis, each person has an opportunity to express what they feel or think. Now, let's look at an unhealthy game of tennis. You're not only slamming balls over to the other side of the net, but you're running around and returning the balls for them. And they might as well just go and sit down or leave the court, because you're playing both sides of the game. And you're doing it so fast and so rapid and so much hogging that ball that they never get a time to respond. And you're filling in both sides of the conversation. So stop for a minute and take a critical look at yourself. Do you often fill in both sides of the conversation? You go to your spouse and say, I have a problem with something that's been happening between us, and I want to talk to you about it. And before your spouse can hear or listen or tell you he or she understands, you're answering for them. Well, you always think, and you don't. And in the past, you have. And you're just going to hurt me again like you did before. And you're filling in both sides of the conversation. That is not a conversation. That is an act of paranoia and fear. Right? You get the difference? So take it back to you're playing a game of tennis, and you want the other person to get the ball. You want them to see it coming. You want them to hear what it says. So the metaphor for the ball being the conversation, you want them to get it. Okay? So a conversation that does not have listening in it means that that other person's running away with the ball, and that, or you're running away with the ball, and nobody's really hearing what is happening. So when you are listening and you are hearing and you're watching body language and you're trying to make your listening outweigh your talking, then you're starting to step into being a very self-aware, developed individual who can be known as a good listener. In my experience, there are people that say they're good listeners, and what they actually mean is they're good fixers. As soon as you start telling them what you're feeling or what you're thinking or what you need, they take that ball, run down the court, take off with it, and they're going to fix it. They're going to tell you what to do. They've got it all together. And often what people really, really need is somebody just to hear them and to really understand. And sometimes the best response is, wow, what do you plan on doing about that? Do you have something you've tried, or do you know which direction you're going to go in trying to handle that? They need you to not only hear, but to help pull out of them what they need. The other thing that's really kind of cool is when you're really listening deeply to somebody and you want to offer them a solution, is to ask permission. Is to say, I hear you that you're really hurting, or I hear that you're confused about XYZ. I have some input on that. Would you like to hear it? And then you wait. And if they say, yeah, I would like to hear what you have to say, then hopefully they're going to kick in to them being the one that's listening while you're doing the talking. So this idea of deeply listening, seeking to understand before you seek to be understood, is really important. And we just want things to slow down a little bit, and we want everyone to try and be as self-aware as possible, so you know when you're coming from fear, you know when you're getting in the way. So the idea that when someone's talking, it doesn't mean you have to like stay totally silent and stare at them. That'd be weird, right? But there's such a thing as passive listening. And what I think of passive listening as is listening noises. Okay, so somebody's talking and you're going, uh-huh, okay, yeah, all right, I hear you. Okay. Kind of what you do when you're on the phone with somebody, so you let them know you're still there. You make listening noises. And that's passive listening. You're not reinterpreting. You're not reiterating what they say. Occasionally you might say a word or two, but you're passively listening to what they say. And what you're letting them know is, I'm soaking all this in. I am deeply listening to you. Now, just because you're listening does not mean you are agreeing. And don't assume that because somebody hears you and someone is listening, that they feel exactly like you do. That is not necessarily the truth. But passive listening is making listening noises. Active listening is where we kind of reiterate what somebody said. Like you might say, so you're telling me that that really hurt your feelings and you're angry. And they might go, yeah. That's an active listening statement. A passive listening statement would be, uh-huh, okay, I get it, uh-huh, all right, tell me more. Those are passive listening statements, okay? Active listening is feeding back what you have heard without coloring it with your own crayons as best as you can, which is not always easy. Because deeply listening to somebody can trigger your own trauma and your own fear. It's hard being human, isn't it? All right, we are going to go to break. And when we come back, I'm going to take you through rules for listening well. So we'll be back in a minute.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM,
AM 1460 and online at KCNR1460.com.
It's Super Saturday, October 30th, at Shasta County Citizens Advocating Respect. The Sikh Center Anderson, in partnership with Anderson RX and Anderson Medical Associates, team up to host a COVID-19 vaccination clinic from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Sacred Heart Parish at 3141 St. Stephen's Drive off of Stingy Lane in Anderson. Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson vaccines will be available. Come and get vaccinated on Super Saturday and enjoy free food while organizers hand out Dutch Bros, Walmart, and Starbucks gift cards. It's the Super Saturday Vaccination Clinic, October 30th, from 8 to 3 at Sacred Heart Parish in Anderson.
Hi, this is Dan Beans, Director of Redding Electric Utility. Now is a great time to prepare for this year's upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our facilities and to the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutters and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming in proximity of power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and we're talking about listening.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
I absolutely love that. Rush Hour is one of my favorite movies, and so I just love that. I love the response Jackie Chan gives. Nobody understands the words that are coming out of your mouth. So we're talking about listening, you guys. How do you deeply listen? And what if the words that are coming out of somebody's mouth are hard to understand, either because they're so angry and they've got so much emotion attached to them, or they're speaking in a way that you don't understand, whether it's foreign language, or they're just using big, huge words to confuse you, or they're convoluted. I have people I know that it's like you want to bring them back into the center of the room because they are talking all around a point, and they're not really making their point. You want to say, stop! What are you talking about? Because they're all over the place. So if that's you, you've got to stop and say, how well do I express my point? There's a really cool tape that I like, a DVD. I don't know if it's on DVD now. It used to be on, actually, cassette tape. And it's called How to Make Your Point in 30 Seconds or Less, which means you have to know what you're saying, you have to say it well, and you have to say it clearly. There's a lot of people that should listen to that. It's probably on YouTube now. I think you could find it. All right, let's talk about rules for listening. And you might want a pen to write some of these down, because if you are striving to be a really good listener and an even better person who hears and extremely self-aware so that you are not coloring everything with your own crayons, that you are able to get out of your own way and hear what somebody is saying, then these are some rules that you're going to want to try to do. Rule number one for listening is be quiet. Stop talking. Shut up. Okay? If your mouth is moving, you cannot hear what somebody else is saying. So, when it is your turn to listen, be quiet. And don't interrupt them. Let them finish their thought. Now, this is interesting, because people that talk for a living often don't allow a break in the conversation to let somebody else in to talk. They learn how to take their breaths in the middle of sentences, not at the end of sentences. But when you're having an interactive relationship with somebody, you have to make one point and then be quiet. You have to allow room for the ball to be returned to you. You don't get to run around the other side of the net and return the ball for them. If you don't allow room for someone to respond to you, then you are not having a conversation. And I'm going to tell you something else really important. You will not be heard. If you take all the conversation and you suck all the energy out of the room and you never allow the other person to talk, you will not be heard, because the person at some point will stop listening. All right, so rule number one, stop talking. Rule number two is to tune in. Try and put your thoughts and your criticisms and your responses aside. So tune in and really try to hear what they're saying. Rule number three, you want to make passive listening noises. You want to nod your head, or you want to say, I hear you. Okay, tell me more. All right. And it's also okay for you to let people that you have, you're in relationship with, to say, look, I'm going to listen deeply to you, but I don't want you to misinterpret that me listening deeply and understanding what you're saying means I agree with you. So I would like to have an opportunity to state how I feel about what you're saying. I want room to do that, or this isn't a conversation. So that's okay. But you make passive listening noises that you are literally hearing what they're saying. The other thing is, as best as you can do it, focus. Try not to be doing other stuff. Now, you know, sometimes that's hard. When you're a busy mom and your kids come in and they want to tell you a big old long story about how somebody hurt their feelings that day and you're trying to cook dinner, sometimes it isn't easy to stop, sit down, look at them. So it's not about being perfect with that. Some of it's about knowing when it is important to stop and sit down and listen. And even with your kids, if you can say to them, I need to keep cooking dinner, but I want to hear what you have to say, so talk to me, I'm listening. And make listening noises, and every once in a while let them know that you're tuned in. Know when it's really, really important to say, hey, this is a really important conversation, and I want to sit down when I can really hear you. Let me finish what I'm doing right here, and then we'll sit down. That's also highly validating to your relationship with somebody. All right, so focus. Try not to do other stuff if it's possible. And then, that cardinal rule, first seek to understand. You are not trying to be understood for what you believe or what you think or how you're going to fix this situation or how you think they're full of garbage for what they're saying. You are simply seeking to understand. And the example I always use with people is, the person sitting there trying to convince you that the moon is made of green cheese and you think they are crazy. They are certifiably Looney Tunes, and they're trying to tell you the moon is made of green cheese. So you deeply try to understand what they're saying. You don't agree with them, but you want to understand what they're saying. So seek first to understand. The other thing, which is very hard to do, is to allow silences and pauses. You don't always have to fill every single space with your voice. Somebody's talking to you. They're trying to tell you something very difficult. Allow the silence and allow the pauses. In a therapeutic environment, in my office with clients, sometimes the most profound things come after you allow somebody to sit in quiet for a moment. And it doesn't have to be forever, but somebody stops talking, they're feeling emotional, you see their eyes starting to tear up, and they're struggling for control. Be quiet. Let them feel what they need to feel. See what comes out of their mouth next, because after that pause or that silence, sometimes the most profound things come out of people's mouths. When you are deeply listening to your children, remember that. You do not have to fill every single second with a teaching moment. You do not have to fix what they're thinking. You do not have to have a panic attack inside going, oh my heavens, my child thinks like this. Oh my God, I have to fix this. I have to fix this. No. Revel in the silence and the pauses and see what happens after you allow a pause to hang in the air. All right. The next one is to try to be impartial. And the way to be impartial is to know when you are coloring what somebody is saying with your own crayons. In this whole political environment in this day and age, that is really important. Everybody has their own political crayons. So somebody starts talking and you immediately feel that's your permission to whip out your own political crayons and color what they're saying with your political thoughts. So know when you're taking out your crayons to color what somebody else is saying with your opinion. If you try to be impartial, then you are seeking to understand before you seek to be understood. And as hard as it is for all of us as human beings, we do not have to fix what everybody else believes or thinks. No, it's hard. We're humans. We want things to be easy. Sorry. The world's chaotic sometimes, and the world is messy. And it isn't always possible to make everybody color their reality like you color yours. So just the secret is not to be perfect at that. The secret is to try to know when you're coloring somebody else's reality with your crayons. Okay, the next rule is notice if the tone of voice, if the logic, if matches the logic and the body language. So someone's talking and trying to tell you how they feel about something or something they're worried about. Look and see if their facial expression is matching what they're saying. Does their body language match what they're saying? And you don't have to be an expert at reading body language. Just know if they're looking super tense and trying to tell you how happy they are, you're instinctively going to go, something doesn't match. And just notice that. And tuck it away if you need to. You don't have to interrupt them and say something, but you might say it when it's your turn to talk. The other thing is, try not to hang on to minute details. Try to get the concept or the big picture of what they're saying. And this is really important when somebody that you instinctively fear rejection or abandonment from is telling you something difficult, maybe a criticism of who you are or something you've done or way you've hurt their feelings, or they need to talk to you about something that's been difficult for them. Try to keep a concept with a big picture. If you start to hang on one little word they say or one little thought that colors it wrong for you, you may miss what they're really trying to tell you. So, for example, let's say your spouse or your child or whatever comes up to you and says, something really hurt my feelings that you did and I want to talk to you about it. You say, okay, I'm listening. I want to hear what you have to say. Then you try to go through all those steps. You seek to understand. You try not to color it with your own crayons. You recognize it's a little scary that you're going to be rejected or abandoned. And you get the big picture. So let's say they say one little thing that's kind of hurtful or irritating or that's a little bit off or wrong, and you want to hang your head on that word or that sentence. You've just missed the big picture, the big concept. So try not to let minute details take you off the meaning of the big picture, because that's not productive and it doesn't help the situation for deep listening. All right, so if you get the idea that you want to deeply listen, you want to learn what the person is saying, you want to be able to evaluate and analyze what they're saying and how you feel about it, but you also really want to make somebody you love and care about feel understood and heard, even if you don't agree with them. Deep listening, deep understanding, hearing somebody is not about agreeing or disagreeing. It's about first understanding. Okay? When you can begin to do this, then what happens is you become an incredible listener, an incredibly empathetic, understanding person. And then, when it's your turn to talk, and hopefully the other person gives you your turn to talk and can deeply listen like you just did, then it's your turn to stand in your truth. And you might say, I hear you. And then you give the echo. That's what I call feedback. But it's where you kind of echo. I heard that you feel XYZ. I feel that you're afraid of da-da-da-da-da-da. So I heard you. And you're looking for a confirmation from them, for them to say, yeah, that's what I said. Now I'd like a chance to talk to you and have you really hear how I feel about this. Okay? So you heard them. Now it's your turn to talk, and hopefully they will deeply listen. One of the things that I've noticed in this world is there are very few people who really know how to listen to somebody else. So when it's your turn to talk and you get one sentence out and they grab the ball and run back onto the other side of the court, they're not going to let you play. It's frustrating and it's sometimes infuriating. So it is okay to say, look, I listen deeply to you and I would like to request that you listen deeply to me back. I will try to be brief and succinct, and we can go back and forth with this until we have full understanding. If you guys listen to my podcast called Communication Basics, if you go to Dr. Patricia Bay, Therapy in a Nutshell podcast, my podcast called Communication Basics will take all of this back and forth even further. And it's a really good thing for you to listen to with your kids or with your spouse to deepen your ability to go back and forth. But right now we're talking about the listening portion of it and not necessarily when it's your turn to talk. The other podcast I'd want you to listen to is Standing in Your Truth, because when somebody speaks to you and you have a difference of opinion or you don't agree with what they're saying, even if you can understand what they're saying, it's important for you to stand in your truth. And how do you do that without being aggressive or being all passive-aggressive or passive? So my podcast called Standing in Your Truth is a really important one for those skills as well. All right, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, I'm going to sum some of this up for you, and hopefully you're going to go away from this show being a better listener. We'll be back in a minute.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta spring water.
Mosley Family Cellars Harvest Festival is Saturday, October 23rd from 2 to 5 p.m. at 4712 Mountain Lakes Boulevard in the Caterpillar Industrial Area. Dress up in your favorite costume and join Mosley Family Cellars Harvest Festival featuring a fun-filled afternoon with a pumpkin painting competition for kids and adults, local vendors, yard games, and wine and Halloween candy pairing for those 21 and older. Don't miss this spectacular event at Mosley Family Cellars on Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Tickets are available at the entrance or online at mosleyfamilycellars.com.
Thinking about starting a new career or upskilling for the career you have right now? It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. Reskill for those new jobs that are emerging in Shasta County. Find out today about their veterans programs and free tuition. All of this at Shasta College. Go to shastacollege.edu.
At the Wagner Law Group, their goal as a fire victims law firm is to advocate for those who have been victimized by Pacific Gas and Electric Company's negligence. The Wagner Law Group has been rated the number one fire attorney group in Northern California and has low contingency fees. So, if you or your loved ones have been affected by the Dixie or Zog fires, contact the Wagner Law Group today. Call 833-200-7111. That's 833-200-7111.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and we're talking about listening. Right now you're listening to Native American flute music. It's just stunningly beautiful. That is the classical cellist that played with Randy McGinnis on Smoky Mountain Dreams. It's just incredibly... Stacy Nichols. And she's just an incredible cellist with the Knoxville Symphony. All right, so we're talking about listening. So you've been listening to this show, and you're saying, okay, I could improve my listening skills. Most likely you're saying he or she could improve their listening skills, because we always tend to hold ourselves in higher esteem than we do other people. So you might be thinking, my spouse needs to hear this because he or she does not listen to me. Okay, you may need to take a good look at yourself. Because that's where it starts. We can't fix other people, but we can fix ourselves. So if you've been listening to this show and you're hearing some stuff that speaks to you about your own listening, and you would like both you and your partner, or you and your kids, to listen more deeply, then the way you share it is you say, I was listening to Dr. Patty's show this morning, Therapy in a Nutshell, and she's talking about listening, and I really saw myself in a few areas, and I'm going to try and do better with my listening. And I was wondering if you would listen to the show with me from her podcast, and let's work on this together, because I think our communication could be a whole lot deeper and more meaningful. I think we could listen to the kids better, and I think our life would improve if we worked on this one area. And what's really cool, you guys, is this is free. You don't have to be in expensive therapy to work on your listening skills with your family. Or you could take the podcast and do it at a business meeting and say to your coworkers, we all need to listen more deeply to our customers, to our clients, to each other, and let's have an active participation in improving our listening. So this is such a cool tool for deepening and developing relationships. You know what's really interesting? I see this in marital therapy all the time. What couples are saying to each other is not nearly as important as how they are saying it to each other. You could go to your partner and say, "Can I talk to you about something that's been bothering me?" Your partner says, "Sure, I'm listening." "All right, this is important, so let's sit down." You put your phones down, you turn the TV off, you maybe do it when the kids aren't there, or you say, "We're going to go and talk, and we have something important we need to talk about, and we want you guys to leave us alone for a while." They're old enough for you to do that. And then you deeply listen. You let your partner say what hurt his or her feelings, what they're worried about, and you seek to understand before you seek to be understood. So you say, "I hear you saying," and you give them the echo, give them the feedback. And remember, the echo and the feedback is not your opinion. It's not how you feel. Then if your partner lets you talk about how you hear or how you don't agree or how you feel you both do that, whatever the truth is, that's okay. You can have a very difficult conversation about some very difficult stuff and end up feeling closer to each other than further apart from each other. But the secret is not in fixing it so much as in deeply listening to each other and hearing how you feel and what you have to say. Even if you don't have a simple explanation to fix it, you might say, "We need to work on this," or "We need a tour guide, we need to get into some marital therapy," or "We need some help," or "We need to do more research," or "We need to listen to more of Dr. Patty's podcasts," because they'll have things that will teach us how to listen more deeply, how to stand in our truth, how to be authentic, okay? So listening is the gateway to intimacy. Write that down. Listening is the gateway to intimacy. You have to deeply hear each other. You have to watch the person to know when the relief starts to flood their face and their shoulders drop and they're starting to feel heard, and even if it's not fixed. I didn't say that intimacy is found through fixing each other's problems, or intimacy is found through fixing each other, or intimacy is found in helping the other person realize how they've been a bad person. That was not the word that wanted to come out of my mouth, but I didn't want to get beeped. Okay, so that's not how intimacy is formed, you guys. Intimacy is formed by deeply listening, seeking to understand, making a commitment to hearing the other person, and then even saying, "I don't know how to fix this, but let's look into this more, or let's get some help, or let's work on this, or how about if we have this conversation again in a week? And in this week, I'm going to try to really address what you've told me. I'm going to try to do less of that or more of this." Often, that's all we are looking for from the people that we love. "I hear you. I'm trying. I'm working on it. I will work on it. And let's check back in, and I want you to honestly tell me how I'm responding to what you're telling me right now." I know that as you're listening to even me saying this, part of you wants to drop your shoulders, feel relaxed, and say, "Yeah, that's all I'm looking for, is to be heard, not to be fixed." And that's where deep listening comes in. So listening does not equal fixing. Listening does not equal healing. Listening equals intimacy, because you feel like you have a forum for somebody who cares enough about you to do all those listening rules that I went through, like focus on you and make listening noises and seek to understand and allow silences to happen without filling that space and filling that space with inane chatter or chaos or "You must be done, so I'm going to get up and leave." Picture the rules of listening that I'm talking about and how sacred that space would feel with your partner, with your teenager, with your child, with your boss, with your best friend. If you could just feel heard, you would feel closer to that person. And then if the healing is sought after, not necessarily right there or fixed right there, but it is, you're moving toward healing or fixing it by understanding what needs to be done, you relax and you feel closer to that person. And here's the big word that you really need in a relationship. You need to feel safe. When a couple comes in to see me in marital therapy or, you know, a family or whatever I'm looking at, any kind of relationship, I'm looking for how safe do these people feel with each other. Are they safe to be in a relationship with each other? Do they feel heard? Do they really listen to each other? Can they communicate? Do they feel they're criticized or harangued all the time? Or if they do the least little thing that doesn't agree with the other person, are they put down? Are they told they're bad? Is the critical, demeaning talk happening more often than the loving, understanding, listening? The critical, demeaning, you're wrong, you're bad, I'm going to pounce on you every time I perceive you doing something that I don't like, ruins relationships. It kills intimacy. And it does that because it makes you feel unsafe. You hear that? When you feel unsafe, it ruins your relationship. Now put that on a spectrum, all the way from I don't really have room to talk. It's the person sucks all the oxygen out of the room and does all the talking and never listens to what I have to say. All the way down to the other end of the spectrum of domestic violence or physical violence or whatever, an unsafe relationship. Down at the other end, the safer end, deep listening is going to move that relationship into a much safer place than it has been when somebody feels criticized and demeaned. So if you want to make your relationship safe, if you want your teenagers to be safe enough to come and talk to you about their fears or their worries or sexual stuff or things that have happened to them that they are unsafe talking to their friends about, if you want your teenagers to feel safe, you deeply listen. If you want your spouse to feel intimate and safe with you and cared for, deeply listen. If you want your customers at your business to relish coming in to you, whether you're a real estate agent or you're a doctor or a chiropractor or a therapist or you have a retail store, if you want your customers to feel heard and safe, then you need to deeply listen. It is the pathway to better business. It's the pathway to intimacy in relationships. It's the pathway to healthy teenagers. And it is the thing that makes people feel safe the most. And think about it. It's pretty easy to do. Start by being quiet. Close your mouth. Stop doing all the talking. And deeply listen to what someone else has to say. And then remember to give them feedback. And remember that feedback, that echo about what they said, is not what you think or you believe or how you're trying to fix it. That echo is about, I hear you, and this is what I hear you saying. And remember, even if they're telling you the moon is made of green cheese and you're going, okay, you're still hearing them. You believe the moon is made of green cheese, I hear you. Now, can I tell you my opinion on that? All right, then it's your turn to talk. So I just want you to grab the concept here today that listening is an incredible cornerstone for deep, intimate, safe relationships where you feel protected and it becomes your safe place. It's really important. We all need it. And if you don't have it and you feel like crying right now because you don't have it, there's somebody in your life you need to talk to and ask if they'll listen to this show with you. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you've been listening to Therapy in a Nutshell, where I just want to help heal the world 1 hour at a time.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.